Welcome back to the Don't Worry About It podcast, where we talk all things mental health related, from anxiety to depression, from happiness to sadness, and all emotions and feelings in between. My name is David Izzo, and I started this podcast to help facilitate conversations related to mental health topics. If you didn't listen to part one yet, please go back. It's titled Beyond the Podcast. It's the most previous episode. That was part one. This is part two, where I head back into the guest seat and allow Effie to really pick my brain. And I wanted to share what's been going on with me since the podcast started as a person, not only as the host of the podcast.
Welcome to the Don't Worry About It podcast. I'm your guest host, Effie Hirschman, Effie Ephraim Hirschman. And with me on this episode, we have the usual host, David Izzo, in the hot seat. David, welcome to the podcast.
Effie, thank you so much for having me on my own podcast.
Oh, it's great having you here. You know, I think you had a show on one time before. So congratulations on being the second recurring guest behind myself.
Yeah.
This is really great. So how many episodes in are we? And tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, this is number 33. And to give a little context to this switcheroo, I felt as we're at episode 33, I haven't given a update, more so at least a focus on myself, since my story, which was the first real full-length episode that I've done. Shout out to DeVere Ofer for doing an awesome job for doing that. But I felt like it was time. You know, that was back in July or June when we recorded that. And now it's time for, I felt it was time for me to do what I ask all my guests to do. And that is to come on and to chat. And I feel like it's time for me to do that. So I asked Effie to kindly guest host this podcast and put myself to the same standard that I put my guests through.
Right. And this is really exciting. And I actually want to open, I know that you open the episode with a question. I want to actually open with a story. This past weekend, this past Thursday night, actually, almost a week ago, I went to dinner with a friend of ours that we both spent a year abroad with. And we were talking and catching up. I hadn't seen him about a year, and you probably have not seen him since we were abroad nearly 5 or 6 years ago. And he says to me, we're in the car, we're driving to the mall to grab a bite to eat. And he says to me, you know, we're talking about what we're up to. He says, you know, oh, I saw that you were on Izzo's podcast, and you know, and it struck me, and it's very funny to me that people, especially people that, you know, we know in the past that we don't necessarily have much to do with at this point in our lives, associate you with the Don't Worry About It podcast. And you know, you might be 32 episodes in and hopefully a lot more in, but this is becoming pretty deeply rooted, deeply connected with your identity. What do you think about that? And have you felt that as well?
First off, it's a blessing, and I'm like so happy that getting from where I started to now, when I started, I didn't know where it would go. I thought when I originally started the podcast, I said to myself, I'm going to do at least 10, maybe 20 episodes before I even share it publicly on Facebook. That was my original goal. And after doing my story and sharing that with, first off, sharing with only a few friends and a few like close friends of mine who heard that before I launched it on social media and really, really put it out to the world. And I got like some really awesome feedback and people saying like, I'd love to do this. And I was like, okay, wow, this is here. And then I recorded the first guest, Avi and Andrew came on. And then right after Andrew came on, I was like, okay, proof of concept is here. I want to do this. And if I just publish it on Facebook, I'm going live with it. I'm really putting pressure on myself to do it. So launch that. And since then, it's just been a whirlwind of emotions, a whirlwind of success and pitfalls and tribulation all together and really everything in between. But it's been really incredible.
Right.
I apologize. I forgot your second question.
My second question is, how do you feel about the fact that you, do you see it yourself? And how do you feel about the fact that you're that who you are, even to people that don't necessarily know you as well and haven't spoken to you in a matter of years, so closely identify you and probably, you know, they're only association with David Izzo. And I know that you're a very three-dimensional person. We talk on a daily basis. You got a lot. You got a lot. God knows you got a lot to you. Their association for you, and I'm sure a lot of people, especially people that aren't as involved in your lives, their primary association of you is David Izzo, host of Don't Worry About It podcast, and the host of a mental health forum. And I mean, probably to the untrained listener, to the person that really hasn't experienced much, they probably look at you as some kind of therapist, emotional individual. And that's a very powerful and specific identity to have. What do you think about that?
First off, it's one of the things I think I struggle the most with. It's figuring out my identity, who I am to me versus my identity and perception in the world. First off, anyone hearing about the podcast is a tremendous, like, is just tremendous blessing and a success for me and what I want this podcast to be. And yet it is also terrifying. People's perception of me, people thinking that I'm like just the mental health person and oh, the guy who has the podcast. Well, yes, that's what I want, and the podcast is something that I love and the reason I started for, and I want that association, but I don't want my identity to be only in that and to just get lost in it. I'm also a person, and I'm not only my mental health struggles, and that's actually was like a big thing for me going when I was going through them, is I'm more than my anxiety, I'm more than the depression I've gone through, I'm more than my struggles, and I think that's true for everybody. So for myself,
So would you say that it's a positive or negative thing?
I wouldn't say either, because I think it's good and bad. It has its positives and its negatives. I wouldn't say it's one or the other. I think that it the fact that somebody out there is listening, knows about that I'm doing something is something that I would only have dreamed of when I started this podcast. The fact that this is going to be episode number 33, like completing 32 episodes with like 28 get 28 different guests, I want to say. Like, that's unbelievable. So the fact that I've been able to create this platform with help of some others, you included, and a lot of trials and tribulation, and like really going into it, the fact that I've even gotten here is a tremendous success point. And yet I have so much farther than I want to go, and that in of itself has become extremely terrifying. But managing the perception versus reality aspect for myself, how I view myself and how I think others may view me with this podcast is really hard. I'm 26 now. When I started, I was 25 in the summer of COVID. COVID hasn't really changed, but I'm at a point where I really have to figure out what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. And I want the answer to be this podcast, but I'm also looking for full-time work. And with COVID, it's been really tough. Part of being a 26-year-old in the modern Orthodox Jewish community means dating. And dating has been something that I've struggled with for a while, getting myself to be able to go out, seeing the value that someone else could see in me, and then adding this podcast in the mix of how many people really want to go out with somebody who does a mental health podcast, right? There's a lot
Would you
of,
think that's a negative thing?
I think it's, so I did, and it took me a time to really understand what I think it is now, and I'm still open to changing my thoughts on this, but I think it's become a filter. That not just for dating, but for everything. For people who view me, it kind of filters out people into my life. People who re and I have proof of concept this for people who've reached out to me after doing this podcast, gotten so many awesome messages from people that I would expect to get them from, wouldn't expect in a million years to get them from. And some ranging from just, I love what you're doing, like keep it up, to like sharing, people sharing their experiences, to people sharing their experiences and converting to come on. But to get back to what I was saying is, what I really want to get out there is that it really creates a target and a filter for myself, actually, where people who really understand and like what they do, and those are probably more people that I guess might be a better fit for me in dating, and as well as friendship, and I guess in that way as well, are more inclined now once they pass that smell test, I guess, or whatever you want to call it, like that filter test.
Sure.
Once they get through that, they're probably going to be more inclined to fit. But at the end of the day, I also don't want to just be known as the mental health podcast guy. Like, there's more to me than that. I don't may not always know what that is, and I may forget and change, but I do believe
Right,
I'm
but
more than a podcast.
you would imagine to the people that do know, for example, right, you're saying that this kind of, this whole, for example, if you were to hear, if you were to go out with a girl and the girl said, I really don't feel like going out with you because of how vulnerable you make yourself on your mental health podcast, right? You would kind of consider that a filter process, right? As opposed to a girl that might say, "Hey, Dave, I think that this shows that you're emotionally aware, that this is something that I could build with, and this is someone that, you know, and I think emotional awareness and stability, or at least, you know, working towards that, is something that's required to the, you know, that's required for a future together. You're not going to be worried that that second individual is just going to think of you as a mental health podcast.
No,
you know,
no. But where what I am worried about is the in between. It could be an initial. It may prevent somebody from getting to actually know me, as opposed.
But wouldn't you not want that to be the kind of person that you're with anyway?
No, not at all. I'm going to judge everyone on for, and not everyone kind of has that in them, and it's very much possible that someone would have gotten to know me and then learned through that about the podcast, their perception could have completely changed versus their perception of what they think it is versus what it is. Anybody who listens to the podcast, and I mean, this is the second time, I mean, I've revealed certain things in it, and I'm always going to hold private. I do also maintain a pretty private life, I think, for the most part, in terms of like, I talk about this stuff, but not everything comes out here. Like my friends who confide in me, family members who confide in me, I do my best to thread the line and being as open as I possibly can, but I struggle with my own vulnerabilities and stuff like that. But I do think it can prevent somebody to know me. And I think more getting back to the focal point of what the original question was, the person who you're with eating dinner is thinking about me having the podcast, and that's exactly what I want, but it's not all that I want. And I don't think I can have both. And I'm okay with that. When I started this podcast, I really took a long time and thought long and hard about all the potential problems and things that could come up that could hurt me. And this was one of them. I really thought about it, and I was like, this could potentially hurt me here, but I thought it was worth doing anyway. And I don't regret that decision really at all.
So why?
Why?
From your perspective, yeah. Meaning, what made you think? What about this particular cause? What about this particular source of content made you think that this is actually worth the potential sacrifice in something that could potentially, again, and I don't know whether I personally agree with you or not. However, I'm not the one doing it. So, you know, it's really easy for me to say it. Why do you think that this is worth sacrificing potential dating potential or friendship potentials? What about this do you really feel makes it worth it?
Well, I don't want to harp so much on the dating. That was just an example that I used to convey it.
But friendships, right. I mean, even, you know, the person that's, again, that's, we're talking right. about the person no. that I'm driving with that hadn't seen you in 5 years and says, oh, David Izzo's the podcast guy, you know? Why are you willing to make that your identity? What about this do you think makes it worth it?
Well, I'm not willing to make it my identity. I'm willing to risk that as a potential
outcome
of it. It's worth it to me because it matters. Anybody who's paying any much attention to what's going on in the world, the conversation around mental health is really changing, and it's going a lot. I thought it would go really quickly, and it's actually picking up pace. And for some, it's not going as quickly as they may think so. But these are I do see a lot. I mean, just this week, past week on ESPN, Jeff Passan shared the story of a baseball player that one of the most heart-wrenching stories, and it's not for the faint. It took me 30 minutes to read. I had to stop and start, and the struggles, and it really can all these stories that I've read and people that I've spoken to on and off the podcast, it reconfirms my belief that these creating a platform for people to come on and share their struggles or their story or their ideas or beliefs or really anything in between. It's not, there's no such thing as too much or really too little, but just coming on for a conversation, I think helps people. I think the goal isn't for everyone to come onto the podcast and be a guest, but the goal is to let people know that they're not alone and that they can talk to somebody, whether it's a spouse or a friend, a family member, maybe just convince them they can take the first step to go to therapy, maybe, if that's what they feel they need to do. It's those potential outcomes that make this 100% worth it. I'm not a professional in any means, and I never try and pretend that I am, and I'll never introduce myself as one, and I'll try and go out of my way to hammer that point home. I'm by no means a professional. I'm just somebody who's struggled immensely in my life with these problems, and I battle them to battle, I guess, is not even the best word for it, but they're still part of me today, but they are not who I am. And I don't want other people out there to think that they are that's all there is to them, and that they can't go through them and without – they can go through them and get through it, and without it being all that they are. I hope, at least. I think that conversation is changing, and I think if I can play this part and help it get there in any way that I can, then that is something worth doing. And it also gives me something to do for my life, right? I'm 26. I haven't figured out exactly what I want to do with my life. I've had a few jobs in a few different industries, and I haven't felt anything that meets the passion that I have for this. I don't consider it a job. I consider it something that I really enjoy doing. And that's what everyone says you should do. And I think that they're in some ways right and other ways a little wrong, but it's relevant.
Do you care to elaborate on that? You don't think it's relevant?
Yeah, I think – no, listen. I think everyone says you got to do what you love, and I think you do. But I don't – everyone doesn't always have to be your job. You're right. If you're somebody who sits in a cube and hates their job but leaves that cube life and then goes on and is able to spend a ton of time with their family and is able to maximize the hours that they're not at work in the best ways possible, then I don't think you have to love what you do. But a lot of people aren't able to do that, and it's really hard. And anyone who's like myself who spent time at a job that they fucking hated, and it kind of ruins the off hours. You don't want to do anything because you're just in a bad mood once you leave the office, and it's very hard to. Some people are able to turn that switch on and off, and some aren't. And I'm raised my hand up and say I wasn't one of them. So, you know, I'm willing to put in the work. I am looking for full time work, and you know, part of that is to, you know, I want to move on with my life. It also gives me credibility. It's really hard to be the guy who just does a mental health podcast and doesn't make any money from it, because right now there are no ads.
Yes.
There's no revenue yet. Down the line, that's the goal, is to monetize this podcast. But for now, it's really hard, and I think that you need to figure out enough that you love to do. So for now that I found that I have this, I'm holding on, and I'm going to see this to keep – I'm going to keep – hopefully see this due to the next evolution at least.
Right. So right now, we are approximately 7 months into your podcast. And right now, you know, it's been a particularly rough time for everybody. It's been an incredibly rough year. And actually, I know, you know, in terms of trying to get guests, part of, you know, I try to give a hand, and one of the main things that I capitalize on, and one of the main points I say, is especially in these times, because everyone knows that these times are referring to COVID, and you know, and people are meaning seeking, relationship seeking animals, and that has literally been put on an abrupt halt without any kind of phasing out, without any kind of adjustment period. And, you know, you started this in the middle of COVID, and you started it, and it's been 8 months, and you kind of began it, I would say, towards the peak of when things are really getting difficult, because even though COVID has been around for a long time, you started this in summertime. You started this when people were still eating out and people were still going to outdoor bars and restaurants. And you've kind of seen, and you've kind of, I'm sure you've felt yourself, the transition from summertime in a metropolis area in Manhattan to wintertime. And you're hosting consistently week after week. And what do you see, what do you feel the development and the changes that have happened in the last 8 months are? We'll start with that for now.
Yeah, I think there's been an awakening. I think a lot of people are experiencing mental health issues for the first time, whether that be just whether it just be anxiety or going through depression or just going through just really tough times. Financially, what maybe directly or non-directly, it could be families going through time. You might have a family member that's gone through COVID and may have lost somebody. You may have not been able to see somebody. And we're going – COVID is, I mean, if you would have told me when I started this that we'd still be in COVID by now, I would say you got to be kidding me. I mean, it's really tough, and I think that a lot of people have had issues that were bubbling over that they may have not dealt with, or they didn't even know were there. And I think COVID has kind of brought a lot of it to the surface, and I think people have reevaluated their lives and what they based off of their situations and what they want and what they don't want. And for some, a lot of people that I've spoken to off the podcast and some, I guess, on, have had really productive changes for them. But people have really awoken. And I keep saying that word because I think that they, and I don't even think they're necessarily sleeping, but they might've been sleepwalking through life or through something. And it's kind of awoken them. I mean, I've been wanting to start this podcast. I'd had an idea to do something with mental health for a few years. Conceptually, I just wasn't ready to really bring it to, I guess, market or to start it in some fashion. Start it potentially as a blog or a website, and those are still in the works. And hopefully, building out the "Don't Worry About It" brand and creating something else around it for myself and for other people. But I think that people are ready to start talking about their mental health in more of an open fashion, and I think they're starting to. These are my, based off of conversations that I've had and based off of my feelings, I think it's obviously generalization, but that's what I think. I think COVID has caused people to really start paying attention to these things. They're putting the value on it. And I think that is a good thing in a lot of ways.
Right. So instead of speaking in terms of people, how has that impacted you in the last 7 months, 8 months? Again, because you're the one in the hot seat now and you're the one that's being hosted. And, you know, and again, you know, this episode is the episode that brings humanity and brings the person out of the host, out of the facilitator, because you do such a good job on a regular basis, keeping yourself out of it. You know, and there are times, obviously, we'll share in order to help along or to emphasize a point. It's been a very difficult 8 months for everyone. And do you feel that you've woken up in certain senses, or that you've, you know, almost like had notions, ideas, fears, doubts that have awakened in the last couple of months, especially since you started the episode, since the podcast rather? Want to talk about that a bit?
Yeah, sure. But first off, thank you so much for that compliment. Part of the thing that I've been needing to work on is taking compliments, accepting them. So credit to you for doing that. But yeah, I think for myself, it's been, you know, I've gone through so much stuff in my life with anxiety and depression and physical pain. Been dealing with this arm, this like nerve injury problem since July 2018, and when I say in pain, I mean like on a base level of it, like the lowest average pain for majority of it was like a base of a 7 that got up to a 10 for majority of it. I spent a lot of time in a ton of physical pain, spending hours upon hours in doctor's offices, x-rays, MRIs, occupational therapy, and a little over a year ago, December 2019, I finally had surgery on it. And that was right before the pandemic.
I think I saw you in a cast, right? Were you wearing a cast at that point?
Yeah, so I ran into you in the city. I was 3 days out of surgery.
I totally forgot about that until you just said that.
Yeah, so that, yeah, I ran into you in the Jewish center. but getting back to it, yeah, so I and the reason I'm bringing this up is I had surgery in December, and that wasn't even a guarantee that it would work. And I had 3 weeks in like January-ish that I was like pain-free for the first time. And then the pain started to come back, and I've been to more doctors now, and the same doctors and new doctors, and back in occupational therapy. And to be honest, that part has been really, really fucking hard. The physical pain has not just been physical, but the toll that it really took for these 2.5 years now has been completely translated to mental. Just being in pain to the point where you think about cutting your own arm off because it would be less painful in the long run entered my mind more than once and affected my mood, and it made me less fun to be around for other people, for myself. And it really, really, it's really continued to mess with me. And as I'm another occupational therapist and working with finally a pain doctor that finally recently found, I've met over the summer, late summerish, has finally started to, we think we may have found a medication that has actually helped a lot with the pain, has gotten me to like a base level of 5. It still hurts really bad. But the thing about pain is, and I think this is both physical and mental, is when you go through pain for so long, eventually it becomes a part of you and you don't know how to live without it. and whether, and it just becomes part of your new normal. And I think that kind of also relates with COVID and with a lot of things, is these things become your new normal. And I think that the physical pain has stopped me from growing in a lot of ways, because I can't think past, when is this pain ever going to stop? Like, is my arm ever going to be okay? Like, I'm like, or do I have to go find another doctor? Like, how much longer can I really, like, sanely, like, stay sane and with it? And I mean, credit to me is I have always been blessed with strong mental fortitude to an extent, where I've gone through it. And when I went through some severe anxiety in college, and that led me to have to take a leave of absence and some bouts of depression, once I got through those things, it gave me that mental plus physical now kind of balance, where I've felt like I've been at what I perceive as my own rock bottom, and creates, which is not even necessarily true, but in my head, it felt that way. And so for me, it's kind of become, through COVID, and it kind of parlays into it, where I've for the most part have felt the baseline of, when things get bad, I kind of can fall into that comfortability where I already know what it's like and I know how it feels, and I don't want it to, but it kind of helps me in those scenarios. And don't get me wrong, I had a lot of struggles. Great friends of the podcast and great friend of mine, Vero, and other friends like yourself and others have gotten me through some really hard times during COVID. When COVID was first starting out, I remember I used to go for these walks and I was like starting to lose my mind just with what's going on, with all these, on so much uncertainty, and that leads to anxiety. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. I took an hour walk, and I was just FaceTiming with Devere and just chat. We're just talking about life and more than once. And I think that's kind of become a thing where, you know, the fact that I could lean on a friend like that is not something I don't know if I was so capable of doing in the past. And so there's been a lot of growth that's come out of the last 8 months and some pain, but for the most part, I'm just like anybody else. Just, I've given up on the new normal. Like, going back to normal, I think this is the new normal, and figuring out how to optimize your life now is kind of the new market inefficiency. That are only able to, listen, some people are holding on for dear life because that's only what's going to get them through. But a lot of people I've seen have reinvented themselves, and that's kind of given me hope. And with this podcast, it's given me an ability to work on a passion project. That's something I'm sure we'll get into. How you identify and as yourself, as you so eloquently, you know, was it two months ago, I had did a whole, with just a paragraph, did a whole mental adjustment on myself. So got to give credit to where credit's due.
And what kind of developments have you think you've seen in the last 6 months? Because I mean, you know, I think that a lot of what you said just now, especially about physical pain, definitely is very easily translatable to emotional or mental pain. I personally, for example, rarely go more than a week without feeling some kind of sense of down, you know, whether it's because of a COVID situation, whether because it's my general being hard on myself. But I found that the COVID, that the world in the times of COVID has kind of polarized everything. You know, do you think that being used to pain almost pushes you to kind of find pain so that it becomes a comfort? It becomes a level of comfort.
What are you, a fucking therapist? It's something that I've spoke about in therapy, and it's a really good question. And I think the answer is,
call me Robin Williams, dude. That's all you have to call me. Good old hunting, man.
You're gonna as long as you tell me it's not my fault at the end.
No, it's your fault, man. You drive yourself crazy.
You know me. I'll always like we'll get into it. You know, I'm a born pessimist by nature. Changing that has been the mission of my life that I've only started fighting very recently. And I wanted to fight for what I thought was me fighting it was me wanting to fight it, which are two different things.
Have you always been aware of it, or has it only recently been brought to your awareness?
Yeah. Aware, yes. Accepted, no. Because I think what pessimists do is label themselves as realists. I'll tell you this much, as somebody who's lived a pessimist and been right a lot more often, I'd much rather be an optimist and be wrong.
At this point, or always?
I think always. But I just, you have, when you think some way, and because your default in life and your kind of scope of life and everything kind of gets filtered to the negative, you kind of then have to, if you think you're a pessimist, there's only so much pain you can take and so much like life you can take without, it's much easier to just be a negative, to be negative about it. It's just easy. It's just a default. If that's your default setting, it's just easier. It becomes more comfortable. It's a way for you to make sense of life. And for me, it's always been a sense of comfortability to be, I'm a contrarian also by nature, some because I believe in it, some because it's just like just fun to like just take the other side, like just take the other side of an argument that makes, that maybe you don't always agree with or not agree with, and try and make that argument or try and battle that side. And it also pisses some people off, and that was as a kid and as a young adult, that always was fun for me too, like just to see if I can get a rise from people. Like it's not that deep, but like they'll get passionate about it, and then that for me was also part of it. But the default to pessimism, or the default finding the comfortability, wanting and to get back to your original question of seeking that pain out, I think by nature it's kind of a cycle where negativity breeds negativity, and versus pain, you become, that becomes your default. So you just want to do what's comfortable, and pain becomes what's comfortable. So you may as well continue doing it. It's really just rumination, or not rumination, but rumination in the mental side, but it's kind of on the physical side as well, where you do things to punish yourself, and a lot of people are not aware of it. Once I understood that concept, and it took me some time to really process it and to kind of categorize events in my life that fit that, it became a lot easier for me to view it from a bird's eye and to really process it and then let it go, in the sense of where there's my past of how I acted versus I actually get to control how I go from here on out. And once you, the problem with that, and it's a great thing, but the problem is now, once you accept full responsibility for everything, now it's all on you. And that is,
makes it incredibly difficult.
It's terrifying. And you start to doubt, and you doubt yourself more and more and more. And it gets hard. Listen, I've had doubt. I wouldn't know what to do. I always joke, because like I said, like it's another example. Like I wouldn't know what to do without doubt. It's something I'd say. But it's a defense mechanism, and you hear it in the moment.
Right. Now, is this a recent realization?
Yeah, I mean, depends what you define recent. I'd say in the last.
Would you say in the last 3 months?
I'd say more. I'd say I'm at a much more elevated point. I would say the breakthrough is probably in the last 3 years, 4 years, maybe. I don't know. Time's flown by, but like I just kind of. I don't know. I break up my life into so many different sections, but there's really pre and post college for me, because college was just fucking awful in that stage where I just couldn't get through it for part of it. And that's like 2015 to 2018. And then there's, what's crazy to say is I graduated in 2018, August, like the summer of, I guess, 2018. And now we're getting close to summer of 2021. And there's just been so much life. But a lot of that for me was just kind of getting through that mud, and then figuring out what to do with like my life and restarting. Just getting through the slog was that fight for my, like, it felt like a fight for my life. Like, not, it's not that dramatic. Like, I was never at a point where I was gonna, like, I ever thought that way, but it felt like there were plenty of points in my life where I never thought I'd be where I am today, let alone like, and I still have a long way to go to get to what, like, my darkest fears of not being able to find someone to spend the, like, to find a girl to spend the rest of my life with, to find a partner to share, to build a life, and figuring out what I even want that life to look like, not making the same mistakes of past, of remodeling poor relationships that I've viewed and stuff like that. And that shit scares me to death. And I second guess and doubt myself all the time about that, and figuring out how to go it. So for me, avoidance was probably been a big part of that, at least avoiding those scenarios and situations.
Right. So it's interesting. There's two things that immediately come to mind. Number one is, I think that fear could be, to a certain extent, and again, a very limited extent, healthy. I remember I'm regular Orthodox, observant Jew, and before I went off to college, I remember I spent a year abroad, and I called my teacher before I went to college, and I said, I'm nervous about not maintaining my sense of dedication and observance. And he said, I feel much better now that you call me and tell me that you're scared because you're going to be extra cognizant of it. I think that this fear in a controlled and healthy sense is something that will help that helps direct you rather than something that cripples you. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, listen, I think awareness is an awesome, is so important. Without awareness, you can't get to actually like working and fixing or becoming like, you know, kind of, missing a word, but once you're aware of a problem, you can actually work on it and fix it and do well, right? The fact that you're aware that there could be a problem is such an amazing sign versus people that aren't aware. But the thing with awareness is you're very sensitive, and you put now you have more heightened stakes versus somebody who's not aware.
I see.
And with stakes comes pressure, and with pressure, that leads to stress, and stress, anxiety, thoughts, emotions, all that stuff goes into it.
Right.
And if you're not ready to deal with it, it bubbles over and manifests with some people. It lingers for years and years and years and comes out in other way. In some ways, for some people, it tips the pot over earlier. I don't. It's
so. Do you feel that you have that imbalance, or do you feel you're working on that?
I think it's easier if I have an imbalance, right? It's an explanation.
It's not the answer to the question.
No, I'm getting there. I don't. To be honest, I don't know, and I'm not sure I care.
Well, based on what you just said, it would matter tremendously that whether you care or not. Because if you do care, you do what you can to prevent that from getting out of control.
Right. But I don't have to know to be active, right? I can just say I don't know which one is it which, but what I do know is I need to be mindful of it. You see what the difference?
No, I want you to explain a little bit more, actually, please.
I think for some people they can work on figuring out the delineations between is it this or is it that, is it A or B, as opposed to saying, I know there's a problem. Now I have to be mindful of it without figuring out exactly what the terminology is around it, what's causing it. I think if you just are mindful of it, that'll come to you as opposed to focusing on what the exact label is. Because the problem, listen, if you can find the label on it, like, healthily, but I think people get too stuck on figuring out. I know that can happen to me, figuring out exactly. I want everything to fit so perfectly. When someone, it's like explaining pain. Physical pain, like you're going to the doctor and explain your pain, and you know they'll call it a sprain, or they'll call it this, or they'll call it that, but it might not be the perfect. You can leave the office going, well, like 85% of my symptoms say that, but there's like 15% of it that doesn't quite add up.
Right.
But I don't really care whether it's a sprain or a fracture. I just know that hurts. I need to be mindful. I just know that I need to take care of it, right, and be patient. Obviously, the difference between a cast versus not being a cast is the important part, right? You need to know. But if it's just the difference between like two small things, whether it's a fracture or broke or whatever, I'm not a doctor, whatever it is, the example, I think.
But sometimes, right. but sometimes you might get put in a cast and you might need surgery. And, right. and in your particular case, right, what you were just explaining beforehand is that you were trying to undergo a surgery. You're saying that you were a natural born pessimist, that you, that you, and you are actively working against that. You know, that means that you you don't want a band-aid. You don't want a cast. You don't, you know, you want surgery. You want it to be repaired, and you know what the problem is, you know? So
now I do, but there's a whole journey that gets to that point, which is band-aids, right? Like they got one of the important distinction is to get to this part. I put on all different brands of band-aids, all different types of band-aids. You got the small ones, the big ones, you know, I did everything I possibly could before getting to this point. And now, I mean, it's like dramatic. I don't think it's actually as deep. I think it's just part of life, right? I'm 26. I've only lived 20. I haven't lived on this earth that long enough. And to really be mindful and really think about this stuff is a shorter period, even shorter period of time. So, you know, it's kind of important to understand that it's not that, you know, kind of just now that you're at this point, it's like, okay, that it took these. I think it's important to understand that it takes so much longer to get to where you need to go than you're willing to give yourself credit for. I think it's important, you know, at 26, I have friends that it looks like they're much more successful in a lot of areas of life than I am. And I don't know if they've, my always question is, did they do something I didn't do? Did they handle their shit? Did they handle their shit properly? Or do they have a ticking time bomb waiting to go? Do they found someone they can battle through it with? I don't know. I don't. And for a lot of time, I worried a lot about that until I started to really understand that it's just a distraction from, you know, surgery, like we were talking about. It's about doing the actual work on myself, whether that be through mindfulness exercises, whether that be through therapy, whether that be through, there's so many different routes people can take. For me, it's become a combination of developing meaningful relationships and conversations, some therapy here and there, before COVID on. Now started a little bit back up. Not sure how long I'm going to be actively doing it with, but I'm definitely open to it and using it when I need it, maybe as more triage for now. It's very expensive and costs are high, and you know, I don't have a job yet, so the financial part of therapy is a problem. But I CBD has been a huge help for me. Just found this kosher CBD gummy brand called Tari Gum. I'll give him a free ad.
Right.
Shout out if you guys want to sponsor, but you know, kosher vegan gummies that have been really good. CBDMVs, the oil tinctures that I've used, and that's been really helpful. But the best work that I can say I've done in the surgery that I've been doing is conversations like these about myself and hearing it from other people, and doing that stuff has left me to rethink a lot of things. And I think I'm in the midst of surgery, and I don't know how long the surgery is going to go for, but I don't know if I'll ever become an optimist by default. But I'm not going to, as we spoke about like a week ago, or maybe it was this week, I don't know, but there's no reason to close that door. Thank you to Effie Hirschman for taking the reins over the podcast for the past 2 episodes, putting me into the hot seat and really getting me to open up and share what's been going on with how the podcast is made and what's going on with me. I know how hard it is, so real shout out to him. He did a great job. Moving forward with the podcast, I'm excited to announce that I will be back into the host seat, and we have a great array of guests and some pending guests that we're hoping to get on. Very excited about the future of this podcast, and I want to hear from you guys what you guys like. What topics do you want me to explore, guests that you think I should have on, whether professionals, non-professionals, just people that you think would be great on the podcast. If you are interested or know of anybody who's interested in coming onto the podcast, please get in touch with me at don'tworryaboutitpodcast@gmail.com or my Instagram, Facebook, or if you have my number, text me. If you don't, you can find somebody who does. And I'll happy to communicate in any way, shape, or form. Thank you guys so much for all the support. And a big way that you guys can actually support the podcast is by rating the podcast, and then leaving a review. That's a great way to promote the podcast and to help me grow it. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll see you next week.